Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Kings get real mad when disobeyed. Daniel's friends said no to Babylon's king and then got tossed into a fiery furnace. God does not always deliver his people from harm, but this time he did. And one king found out who was really in charge. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. We're in Daniel chapter 3, watching what happens when the state becomes God.
And these three men, they fell bound into the burning furnace, that is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste, and he declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?" They said, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." What I want us to do today is to ask ourselves the question and answer it. How did these men have the courage to stand there and be willing to say, "Throw us into the fire, but we will not deny God whether we're delivered or not"? First of all, they were willing, of course. They trusted God's unknown providence, his unknown providence. Remember this, that when they were there, they had no idea that they were going to be delivered. As far as they knew, they were going to be incinerated. They were going to be made ashes. But they said, "It doesn't matter, we will be true to God." I call this the unpredictability of God's purposes. You and I have no idea what God is going to do because he works in such unexpected ways. Acts chapter 12, we have Peter and James are in prison, and Herod comes and beheads James. And Peter is expected to have the same thing happen to him the next day, and he's sleeping because when he arrives in heaven, he wants to be arrested. And lo and behold, suddenly the doors of the prison open and he's delivered. Well, one is dead, the other is alive. Hebrews chapter 11, you know, we think, oh, this great chapter of faith, and it is. But if you look at it carefully, in the middle of verse 35, you can look this up sometime, there's a break. It talks about all of the victories that have been won, and then it says, but others were persecuted. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins. They were sawn in two. They were burned. Wow. So the purpose of Hebrews 11 is not to tell us how that, if you have faith, you're going to be able to perform some great miracle. That's not what the purpose is. The purpose is to say this: whether you see a miracle or not, if you go on believing God, you too can be a hero of faith. You know, my earthly father is in heaven, but I know this, that if he were alive and if he saw that I had cancer or an accident or something, and he had the power, he would prevent all of those things from happening. No question, no discussion. My Heavenly Father is much less predictable. He sometimes leads us through the fire, through the trial. Sometimes we die younger than we intended. And it's the unpredictability of God's purposes. Why? Perhaps we'll be able to answer that in just a few moments. But what these three men said was this: we will leave our future in God's hands. What happens to us is God's responsibility. Our responsibility is to trust him and to believe him regardless of the outcome, because we don't believe God because of what he does. We believe God because of who he is, and we're willing to trust him to the end. You say, well, where did they get the faith? Well, they trusted God's promises, the known promises of God. You know, I can imagine they're back in the synagogue when they were in Jerusalem before they came to Babylon. Perhaps they were there and the Psalms were being read, and in those days, you know, they memorized a lot of scripture. Maybe one day they were listening to Psalm 73, where Asaph says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. Maybe they remembered that passage. Here's a passage they also might have remembered from the book of Isaiah. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God says, I'm going to be with you. Now you say, well, the promise over promises. God says you go through the fire, you won't be consumed. The floods will not overwhelm you. It's interesting that the two ways that Christians died during medieval times was the fire and the water. They were drowned and they were burned. Keep in mind that this was a promise to the nation Israel, that even though along the way individuals were going to be burned and there was going to be tragedies, in the end, Israel is going to survive. But here's my point. Christians do not judge God by their immediate circumstances. It's not as if we come to a circumstance and we say, now, is God good and loves us or not? The Bible clearly teaches that he loves us regardless of the circumstances, and we believe that. Even though I have no other evidence in history that God performed the kind of miracle that he did here, the fact is that throughout church history there have been martyrs who have died, and they've died with a sense of faith and anticipation. Why? Because Christians believe in two worlds. There's the world of the senses, and there's the world to come. You know, when the Christians were thrown to the lions in the early centuries, and there was no angel that came and closed the mouths of the lions, as Daniel experienced later, when they were going through these hard times, and there they were in an arena, the emperor was there to watch the lions just absolutely lacerate and tear these Christians apart. But one of the emperors said, what do they see? What are they looking at? Because the Christians would look and they just weren't looking into the sky. It was as if they were seeing something. Well, I don't know, but remember what Stephen saw when he looked up and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And it was as if Jesus was saying, Stephen, be faithful, because the moment you die, I'm here to welcome you. Christians believe in another world. We believe the promises of God, and we trust the promises of God. Also these, and I've said it before, but I want to get more specific now. These three men who became the asbestos kids, because they were thrown in the fire and they weren't burned. These three young men trusted in God's unknown purposes, his hidden purposes. Now let's do a little bit of theology together. Can God do everything? No, he can't. The Bible says expressly, God cannot lie. God cannot lie. So that's one thing God can't do. I also believe that God cannot live with a contradiction. God cannot make 2 + 2 = 5. Unless, of course, you define the two and so forth and give different definitions to the word. He's not capable of logical contradiction. But you know, there is a limitation also that God imposes upon himself when it comes to his power. Why doesn't he deliver everyone? Well, I'll tell you why he doesn't deliver everyone, and that's because of his ultimate hidden purpose that is hidden from us, but fully known to him. Great case study in this is Jesus himself. You know, here's Jesus, and was God able to deliver Jesus? Oh my, was God able to deliver Jesus? Of course. Jesus said there in the garden, could not I call 12 legions of angels and they'd come and deliver me? Clearly Jesus could be delivered even without the angels. But I can imagine that all of them were just looking down and they were hovering over Jesus and they were just saying, give us the signal so that we can deliver him. But they were prevented from it. I think of the words of Jesus to Pilate that I've often pondered when he said to Pilate, and Pilate saying, you know, don't you know that I have power to crucify you and all those other things? Jesus said there would be no power at all that has been given to you except that which was given to you from above. Pilate, the very breath that you breathe and the words that you speak out of your mouth, all of that is totally dependent upon God's grace and mercy. You have no power at all against me except what God gives you. Well, my friend, today this is Pastor Lutzer, and I hope that you are as encouraged by these words as I am. When we look around the world and we see problems in the Middle East, when we see problems in Russia and also in places like the Ukraine, and the world seems to be torn apart, and of course North Korea, where you have a very atheistic, oppressive communist government, we sometimes lose hope. But we can be encouraged that even then God has these leaders in his hands. Of course, he's not responsible for their evil decrees. But at the end of the day, it is God who rules. And it was that kind of faith that enabled Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to stand strong when Nebuchadnezzar insisted that they bow before his image. And as you and I encounter a pagan society, yes, I'm even talking here in the United States, and as laws are enacted and we are expected to fall in line with a culture, God is going to grant us the grace to stand against it as well. And with these three men, we say, we know our God is able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, we refuse to bow before the gods of our time. Be encouraged. Fix your eyes on the Lord. Be strong in him, and he is going to guide us every step of life's way.
Erwin Lutzer with more of When the State Becomes God, the ninth message in a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Next time, why God does not always deliver his people. The Church in Babylon is a 10-part series on CD. We'd like to send you that series as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.